Good evening. I'm so glad to be able to be with you tonight. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you. I also have to say that I'm grateful to the elders where I preach for being so generous and allowing me to stay here for an extended time. The original plan was I would already be back home and then come back and get Sandy sometime next week. And they called and said, no, you just stay. Take your time. I'm still working on exactly what they meant by all of that. But anyway, I do appreciate them giving me this opportunity to be with you. And I'm grateful to speak to you tonight. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 17. Let's read a few verses together in Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. The Bible says, while Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but the 9? Where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Leprosy was one of the most dreaded diseases of the day, not only because of what it did to a person physically, but also because of the social stigma that was attached to it. People were ostracized who had it. It was a miserable condition to be in. 10 men pled for mercy. 10 men received mercy. One man turned around and came back and said, thank you. And Jesus asked, were there not 9? Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9. Where are they? Where are the 9? I wonder if Jesus asked that not only so that when this would be recorded, it would be relevant to that immediate circumstance, but so that when we would read a text like this, we would ask, is he asking me that question? Am I the one? Or am I in the 9, that the Lord might ask, where are they when it comes time to say thank you? Let's talk a little bit tonight about the subject of being grateful, as this one man clearly was. And I'm going to divide the lesson essentially into two parts. First of all, we're going to talk about some individuals to whom we ought to be grateful. And then we will talk some toward the end of the lesson about some ways in which we can express gratitude, thankfulness from our hearts. But we begin talking about those to whom we should be grateful. And, well, at the top of that list, we just have to put God at that list, don't we? And we could spend the entire time this evening talking about a variety of different reasons why we ought to be grateful to God for things. Let's just mention a few. When we start talking about gratitude to God, we often think about the things that He does for us, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But let's begin with just thanking God for who and what He is. That we have an almighty God. That we have an all-wise God. That we have a gracious and merciful God. That we have a patient God. I don't know about you, but I'm certainly thankful that God does not deal with all sinners the way He dealt with Ananias and Sapphira, or Nadab and Abihu. It would have been just. It was just when He did what He did. But if He dealt with all of us that way, you'd be listening to somebody else preach tonight. I wouldn't be here. I'm grateful for God's long-suffering and all of the other attributes that comprise Him. And then when we start thinking about the things for which we're grateful, we start thinking about the blessings we have. And it just starts with the daily provisions, the everyday things that God gives us. Interesting passage about that in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul is predicting the time that will come when folks will be teaching some things that aren't correct, and among them is that certain foods need to be abandoned. And he describes that as a doctrine of demons. And in response to that, he says in verse 4, everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. Have you ever noticed that fifth verse there? The food that we eat is set apart. It is made useful to us by means of the word of God and prayer. It is the word of God that gives us the permission to eat whatever it is. But the apostle also says that it is set apart by means of our gratitude for it. It is made useful to us because we're thankful for it. One of the first meetings I ever held in Louisiana, the fellow that I stayed with said, "Now let me just tell you right up front, I don't know what you're going to have to eat this week," but he said, "Our rule here is if it moves, we shoot it, and if we shoot it, we eat it." And I thought to myself, there may need to be a lot of gratitude expressed to sanctify some of this food for use this week. But the apostle's point is that not only do we need God's permission and God's blessing, but for that transaction to be complete, we need our gratitude. Give us today our daily bread, Jesus taught us to pray. And that means we pray daily in thanksgiving for what the Lord has given. And of course, not only is it the physical and material things that we're grateful to God for, but also the spiritual blessings that we have. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. It's in Christ that we have hope. It's in Christ that we have the status as sons of God. It's in Christ that we have an inheritance. It is in Christ that we have the revelation of the mind of God. He is the embodiment of that truth. It is in Christ that we have forgiveness of sins. It is in Christ that we have fellowship with God. Is it in Christ that we are reconciled to Him? It is in Christ that we share together with others who are. And on we go. What tremendous blessings God has given an undeserving people in His Son. We ought to be grateful for every single one of them. Among those blessings that we enjoy in Christ is the blessing of prayer. The privilege of being able to call upon God as our Father through Jesus as our mediator. And what a privilege that is. Have you ever tried to reach someone in a high position? Maybe somebody in a high position in a corporation. Someone in a high position in government. You can't just pick up your phone and call and get them directly, unless maybe you've got some sort of secret line that most folks don't know about. Often you can't reach them at all. But God wants to hear from each one of us, and we can call upon Him any time of the day or night with whatever is on our hearts. Hannah is such a great example of this in the opening chapters of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1, she is a woman desperately wanting a child, and she is praying to God, to use her language. She's pouring out her soul to God about this. And the Lord granted her request. And then in chapter 2, I see that godly woman once again going to God, again pouring out her heart, but this time doing so in thanksgiving. The theme of her prayer is stated in verse 2 of that chapter when she says, "There is no one holy like the Lord." She goes on to say how that God can completely reverse the circumstances in someone's life. We call upon God for our needs, our wants, our concerns. Do we just as readily call upon Him with thanksgiving when He grants those things that we ask for? But now let's take that a step further. We need to be grateful to God not only when He answers our prayers in the affirmative, we also need to learn to be grateful to God when He says no. In 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the Apostle Paul referred to something that was very troubling to him. He referred to it as his thorn in the flesh, and I don't know what that is. Don't know what it was. Doesn't matter what it was. Whatever it was troublesome to the apostle. He said in verse 8, "Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me." Verse 9, "He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness.'" In other words, the Lord said, "No, I am not going to remove that." How did Paul respond? He said, "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." I'm grateful to be able to pray to an all-wise God who has my best interest at heart and who will say no to me when the things I ask for are not the things that I need. We understand that that's the way it is sometimes, do we not? We understand as parents that when our children come and ask us for things, we don't always say yes. At least I hope you don't always say yes. We understand that there needs to be some more mature judgment applied. And the child may not understand why the parent is saying no. I may not always understand why God says no to something. But I pray with confidence in His wisdom just as surely as I have confidence in His power. And when He says no, I need to learn to say thank you for that. Now that's hard because we get our hopes up and we want it to be a certain way and then it's not that way. But it comes down to our faith, our trust in God. And here's something else that's hard. Is giving thanks for adversity. That doesn't come naturally for us to do that. But listen to Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. 1 Peter 4, verse 12, he said, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you're reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or a thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he's not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. Someone gives you a hard time because you're trying to do right, because you're trying to serve God. You face adversity because of that. Peter said, you glorify God for that. You be grateful. Because even adversity, even suffering, plays a role in our lives that's beneficial. It's positive. It helps us to build character. It reminds us that we don't belong here. It helps us keep our focus on where we do belong and the things that really matter. And so, as we're thinking about different things that we're grateful to God for, we need to put that on the list. Paul was grateful to God for his brethren. He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2 that he always remembered those brethren in his prayers. And we could go on talking about that, but let's talk about some others to whom we need to be grateful besides God. Our parents. Grateful to mom and dad. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the apostle was anticipating difficult days that were going to come. I find it interesting that as he begins to describe the character of people in those days, he says in verse 2, men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, and unholy. I don't know that there's a significance to the order in which Paul lists these characteristics, but I do find it interesting that he puts disobedient to parents and ungrateful next to each other. Because I think those go hand in hand a lot of times. I understand that children, small children growing up, don't have any appreciation for, really, for what their moms and dads do for them. They don't get it. We can't expect them to. And even as the children get a little bit older and start to understand a few things, they still really don't appreciate what all's involved in being a parent. You never will till you become a parent. Then you realize. You don't realize the sacrifices that mom and dad made for you. You don't realize the constant attention to you and to your needs that they provided. You don't realize the sleepless nights when you were little, because you kept them up all night. And then the sleepless nights when you were big, because you're still keeping them up all night, concerned about you and how you were doing and what direction you were going. But all the things they gave up and all the things they did for you, we need to learn how to say thank you for that. I hope you had the kind of parents that had that kind of devotion to you. I did. And I'm grateful for them. And I couldn't say it then, but I'll say it now. I'm even grateful for the discipline. You know, the author of Hebrews said in chapter 12, down about verse 11, that all discipline for the moment is unpleasant. We don't like that when we're going through it. But afterwards, to those who are instructed by it, then it's beneficial, isn't it? And as I look back, I'm glad that I had parents who loved me enough to correct me when I needed correcting. Because that's what it is. It's enough love and regard for the children to help them be the kind of people they ought to be. And I'm grateful for that. And here sits my wife. That's somebody else we need to be richly grateful for. a mate. Someone who gives of themselves, who sacrifices, who compromises, so that two may become one. That's God's plan, you know. The man leaves his father and mother, cleaves to his wife, and the two become one. And that takes some give and take. It takes some putting up with things. It takes a lot of forgiveness, some patience, a lot of patience, a lot of understanding, support. The wise man who wrote Proverbs 31, describing the woman whose value is above precious jewels, said that her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all." Her husband also praises her. He thanks her because for all of these years, she stood by him. There's no one we owe a greater debt of gratitude to than a faithful wife or a faithful husband. Our spiritual leaders. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. "We request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work." We're talking about the shepherds of the congregation. And that's one of those things that, like parenting, is something that you really don't appreciate what's involved in it until you do it. But you have some sense of what the shepherds do. You have some sense of their self-sacrifice, of their concern, of the time they spend, of the prayers that they offer on your behalf, of the support they give you. Are you grateful for the men who watch for your souls? Do they know that you're grateful for their work? Or those who teach you, preachers, Bible class teachers? Or just people who maybe don't have any particular designated function, but are just the kind of examples that have meant so much to you through the years. The folks that you could look up to and say, "That's what I'd like to be as a Christian." Why don't you let them know that? If you really appreciate somebody who has set that kind of an example for you. Appreciate those, says the apostle in verse 12. Friends, Proverbs 27, verse 6 observes that deceitful are the kisses of an enemy, but faithful are the wounds of a friend. A real friend is somebody who will stand with you and maybe at times even say things that aren't pleasant for you to hear, but they do that because they care for you. I think of King David. David never had a better friend than Nathan the prophet. Nathan is not a major character in the life of David in terms of the amount of pages that are attributed to his part of the story. But Nathan was a key player in the story of David in terms of helping David be the kind of man that he ought to be. Was a great friend. If you've got that kind of a friend, you need to be grateful for him. And he needs to know that. And we could go on with that, but I told you we'd spend a little bit of time talking about how to express this. And I'm running out of time, so let's just talk about that a little bit. How can we express gratitude to someone? Just a few thoughts. First of all, just say so. Just say thank you. Years ago, I picked up a little book. The title of the book was Everything I Needed to Know in Life I Learned in Kindergarten. I thought that was kind of a neat title. Actually, it ended up I liked the title better than the book. But anyway, I thought it was kind of a neat title because really what it said is the important things are some of the basic lessons that we need to learn in life. Things like please and thank you and I'm sorry and I forgive you and excuse me and other things like that. Just basic relationship lessons. And we just need to learn to say thank you to folks. Mama tried to teach that to us when we were little. And as I remember it, if we didn't do that just to suit her, she'd make us do it again. Say it like you mean it, she would say. Has to come out right. Has to sound genuine. It needs to be genuine from our hearts. Thank you. I appreciate you. I appreciate you doing that. And sometimes a compliment to someone is another way of saying thank you. There's an implied thank you in that. You might also do it, particularly with reference to God. We say thank you to Him not only in our prayers and not only in songs, like those that we sang a while ago that are thank you, Lord, but we also do that by the way we live. Look again in 1 Peter chapter 4, this time at verse 10. He says, as each one receives a gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. When God entrusts some resources to me, when He entrusts some ability to me, when He entrusts an opportunity to me, one of the ways in which I say thank you for that is to use those things in the way that God intended. Another thing that comes into play there is just living my life the way God intended. Jesus in His prayer in John chapter 17 said in verse 4 to the Father, I glorified You on the earth, having accomplished the work You've given Me to do. Jesus glorified God by living according to God's will. We do the same thing. And that's one of the ways in which we say thank you to God for Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. I'll tell you, if we don't do that, it really doesn't matter how eloquently someone might express thanksgiving in prayer, or how melodically someone might sing a song of thanksgiving, those are going to be empty words to God if we don't show our thanksgiving by living the way He said to live and using the gifts He has entrusted to us the way He said to use them. And so what this says is our conduct is another way of saying thank you as well as simply our words. When it comes to parents, there's another way in which we can say thank you to mom and dad. And that's by taking care of them should they need it. Most of you know 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. If anyone does not provide for his own, especially to those of his own household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And we cite that verse sometimes with reference to a husband's obligation to work, to provide for his family, to provide for his wife and his children. And I don't know that that's a misapplication of it, but in the context, that's really not what Paul's talking about in that verse. If you back up to verse 4 of the chapter, you'll see what he's describing. He says in verse 3, honor widows who are widows indeed. But verse 4, if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. In the context of that chapter, he's talking about taking care of mom and dad, taking care of grandma and grandpa, providing for your own. Folks, that's God's Social Security program. And that was around a long time before FDR came up with his. And this will be around a long time after the current one goes broke. This one works. And it's a way of saying thank you to dad, to mom, for all the things they did for you. Everywhere Sandy and I have lived, there's been someone in the congregation who has been in a circumstance at one time or another doing exactly this. And it's a beautiful thing to see. It's hard sometimes. It's odd sometimes. It doesn't come naturally to be telling your parents what to do. That seems backwards, doesn't it? But it's a way of showing your parents you love them. And you're grateful for what they've done for you. Gifts. Another way to say thank you. Maybe a card. Maybe flowers. May not be an object. It may be a service. Maybe you say, let me help you with that. You sit down and relax. Let me do that for you. Those are ways of saying to someone, I appreciate you, I appreciate what you're doing for me, and I'm grateful for that. And I want you to know that. It doesn't always have to be any big thing. It can be just a small thing. But comes from the heart. And expresses a heart that's full of gratitude. In Galatians, the 6th chapter, in verse 6, the apostle says that the one who is taught is to share all good things with the teacher. Bible students have a couple of different views of that verse. There are some that think that's talking about sharing with your teachers in terms of you're the beneficiaries of their work as teaching, and then you provide material things for them, which enables them to devote themselves to the teaching. That's certainly a biblical principle, and it may well be what Paul is talking about in that text. Others think that the sharing in view is not so much a sharing of material or physical things as sharing in the teaching, of taking the teaching in and living that in your life, and so having fellowship in that sense and then extending it on to someone else. That also is a biblical principle and makes good sense in the context. I don't know exactly which of those two to choose, so I'll just say it's both. We'll just include it all. But that's one of the ways in which you say thank you to your teachers, is you share with them, learning and cooperating and working together. And speaking of cooperating, take one more look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where Paul had talked about appreciating those who labor among us. I didn't read the last part of verse 12. He says in verse 13, esteem them very highly and love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. Now remember, Paul didn't write that in chapters and verses, and it could be you should start a new verse with live in peace with one another, and he's starting to make another point, but I'm not so sure he is. Living in peace with one another is a great way of expressing appreciation to the shepherds that are trying to get you to do that. being cooperative. Reminds me in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, where he talked to those who have the watch over us, and he said, let them do this with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. When brethren work together and get along with one another and pull together, it's a way of saying each one of us to the others, and especially to those of our leaders, we're grateful for each other. We care about each other. We care about the work we're trying to do. We're thankful. The nature of a lesson like this is such that it's always just suggestive. And I suspect, as I've talked about some of these things, there are other things that have come to your mind, people that you're thinking of that we ought to be grateful for, ways in which to express that. I hope you are thinking about that. And I hope we'll all take the time to do that. 10 lepers cleansed. One came back and said thank you. I don't want to be in the 9, so I'll work harder. Thank you for listening tonight. Let's get ready now to sing our song of invitation. Perhaps we have someone in this assembly who has not expressed gratitude to the Lord for the gift of salvation by stepping forward to receive that gift. Why don't you express appreciation for what Jesus has done for you by making Him the Lord of your life? Confessing your faith in Him, be baptized into Him, and begin to enjoy the rich blessings that God has given, and live a life of gratitude. You ready to do that? Step to the front while we stand together and sing our songs.